What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 8th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Bowden Francis. Man, he earned a gold star yesterday as he went 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts against the Orioles. And if you remember in the preseason, Eric Samulski and I were thinking, Bowden Francis, kind of a good fastball, maybe a good curve in there, maybe the splitter works well. Like, this could be interesting. Did not have an interesting time in April. And now that he has another opportunity with Kikuchi gone and this kind of Yarod Rodriguez or Bowden Francis, who's going to really get most of the time here, you have an opportunity for Bowden. And now you might be thinking, oh, ho-ho, he just did well against the Orioles. Is he good? Well, here's the thing. No. I've actually been following this a lot, and I wonder if there is a metric or like a way for us to really quantify this further. But when it comes to success on four-seamers that traditionally don't have success, and what I mean by that is Francis has a 47% ICR this year. So what you want with Bowden Francis' four-seamer is just don't be in play. Because if it's in play, then it's going to be good contact half the time for the hitter, which means generally he's going to have an elevated BABIP on it. And this was a start that had more foul balls than usual. So this was 17 foul balls. That essentially means those strikes on four-seamers were not in play. And that's what's good, right? So he found more 2-strike counts, which means he was able to put guys away a little bit more. 7 strikeouts, ta-da, that's your ball game. So I'm not really in on this. I see this as an elevated foul ball rate at 35% on the four-seamer. That is just going to come down. If there's anything that's noisy, start to start, it is foul ball rate. It is just so weird. It's strange. And in this one, to see such elevated one, it helps Francis because it removes more balls in play. And he actually did get 7 over 48 whiffs on this. So you could make an argument, hey, it's a better four-seamer that's turning whiffs that would have been foul. Sorry, it's turning foul balls into whiffs and then balls in play into foul balls, right? You essentially go, easy to hit is ball in play. A little bit harder to hit is a foul ball. And then whiff is really hard to hit, right? So if you're pulling away from balls in play down, maybe there's something to that. I don't believe it. And yeah, I'm worried about Bowden Francis. The splitter wasn't so great. The it's not the cream of the crop. And also the curveball was hung here, and Santander hit a 2-run shot on that one. It was really bad. It's just not a consistent pitch. The whole thing is like, yeah, I don't really want to go for Bowden Francis. Also, 81 pitches. Like, I don't know. Now he does get Anaheim. I just don't really think it's that good. It's going to be a questionable start. Like, if you want to take a chance, sure, maybe there's something really new on the four-seamer. I don't think there is. But no, I don't want to do it. Davis Martin, not to be confused with Davis Daniel, went against the Athletics. And if you're like me, I certainly confuse guys on the Athletics and the Angels. But this is the White Sox. Just whatever. Move on from that one. But Davis Martin against the Athletics and not Davis Daniel on the Angels. It's fine. 6 innings, 0 runs. 2 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. What? Who is this guy? Cutters and sliders galore. Davis Martin was always a guy that had a really good slider and just nothing else. But now you have some cutters. And that was the Cannibal McSanchez of going upstairs and getting some called strikes. Four seamers were around the edges, but this was really like a lot of sliders that were just kind of in there. You know, spin to win kind of stuff. That's, you know, fine. He gets the Yankees, so no. I don't really think that Davis Martin is a big thing, but maybe this is like a Mitch Spence situation. I'm curious to see how he performs in that one, to see that still cutter slider is a focus. If those are really good pitches, then maybe we can trust him at a point as a streamer. But right now, no. You have Valente Belazzo against the Reds. Got the wins. 5.2 innings of 0 runs. 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. He's like... he threw a lot of pitches down the middle. I don't think Belazzo is very good. I've done roundups on him before, like leading with him. He gets the Phillies next. Just don't do that one. Luis Gil did well against the Angels. We're cool. 3 out of 10 changeups, though. For strikes, not cool. He gets the White Sox next year. Should be good. Cole Reagans. I watched all of this one. He's weird, man. It's 18 whiffs. You're like, what's the problem? 6.1 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Well, let me tell you. He had a infield grounder to second that turned into a fielder's choice as they tried to throw it to second base for an out, and... It was weird. He didn't get it. Everybody was safe. It turned into an error. And that led to a 2-run shot I think it was a 3-run shot. Regardless, it was bad. It was a bad cutter 90 miles per hour, like right down the middle. Didn't get in enough, maybe like middle in, but oh boy, not what you wanted. Also, it's kind of in a bat where it's like, yeah, this is kind of what he wants. You should throw another changeup. You shouldn't really go for the cutter at this point, but whatever. Maybe if he did get it further inside and out that location, it would have been better. Maybe actually bumping it up to 97 or something would have been good. Regardless, it was bad. He allowed a home run, but it was all unearned. And then you have a solo shot on a 2-0 pitch down the pipe at 95, and that was bad. And velocity is obviously a conversation with Reagan's, because now he's sitting like 94, 95. The velocity dropped all the way down to 91, 92, and I still don't understand how the Royals, like, they always push him one at bat at least too far, right? Like, he came out for the seventh, which was already questionable, and then a man got on first base. What happens here is you enter an inning nearing 100 pitches, you essentially have a guy ready, and then the first batter gets on, you remove him. This is like the book forever and ever and ever, and the Royals refuse to do this with Reagan's. I don't know why it is, and yeah, it got a little bit worse. You know, you allowed another base runner. It's like, why are you doing this to the guy? He was 91-92 in that seventh inning too. That is not Cole Reagan's. I called him the unicorn entering this year because he throws like 97 and then has five pitches or whatever like that. It's not what he is anymore. He throws like, the unicorn I expect from Cole Reagan's is 96 with a dope changeup, a cutter that hopefully is commanded up and in, and then a slider that is a devastating pitch, a rare curve. Like, he's less of a unicorn. The command isn't as good as it was at times last year. He did have one at bat, by the way, that was like 97 upstairs, and then an 87 mile per hour slider underneath. That was just, oh my gosh. That was the same guy who hit the 95 mile per hour fastball down the pipe. Long story short, Cole Reagan's is in this weird place where I think his lower half mechanics are not as in tune, and he's at times going up and down with velocity of like 93 one pitch and then 96 another. And I don't think it's by design. I think it's literally him figuring out his mechanics as he goes with the lower half timing. So I'm not worried about the arm. I do kind of feel like this mechanics won't get fixed until the offseason, though. So he's fine. He's still an ace, 7 Ks, 18 whiffs, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, this is why he's in tier 2, Cole Reagan's is. And because of the questionable command on that cutter, he's still figuring out like the right grip for it. It's going to be a little bit more of a question with the home runs and stuff. That's too long on Cole Reagan's. I'm sorry. It was just an interesting thing to me. Paul Blackburn went for the Mets and he did well in cores. My gosh, he's going cutter, slider, changeup, and foregoing the fastball, which is terrible, which is nice. 81% non-fastballs. Love that. He gets the Athletics next. I'm okay with it. It's a revenge game there too. Eric Fetty's playing the role of Spider-Man this year, the best Toby out there. Did great here. That's cool. You'd love to see it against the Rays. Joe Ryan left his game early with a triceps injury, and that's just all kinds of annoying and terrible. It's kind of funny. I actually talked with Eno about Joe Ryan briefly, comparing him to Brian Wu, and he said the comp doesn't work because of Wu's injury history and Joe Ryan's not, and then what happens? Bam, there you go. Okay. Ryan Feltner was also pulled from his game with a lat issue. He's in the IL likely from that. I feel bad for him. But we move on. Tarik Skubal, ace, is going to ace with a golden goal, 21 whiffs, 38% CSW against the Mariners. Of course, it's amazing. It's dope. You love it. He also was just a tick up in velocity at 98, because why not? Tarik Skubal sitting 98 is just bonkers. He was sitting 94 before the injury, 94, 95. Then he came out going 96, 97. I was like, there's no way the velocity holds next year. Like, we have to think that it might not. Here he's at 98. I'm like, I was so wrong on Tarik Skubal. I mean, I still had him high, but like, would I have him like 15 or something like that? Maybe, I know, like 11. But I mean, yeah, it's pretty nuts. You have Brandon Pfaadt against the Guardians. 6.1 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. You love to see this. And honestly, he's throwing a tick harder and precise. Like, he was really good with command. I do this thing with, you know, a lot, which is The Craft. If you guys don't know it, you should definitely be subscribed to that one. It's not on this podcast feed. It's its individual one. There's a pitchless baseball feed as well for those that want more just like at large baseball and less fantasy. And of course, we have a direct feed for every single podcast, including this one, if you don't want all of them inside the giant mega feed. So we have that for The Craft. And we did a really fun thing talking about potential breakouts next year for guys who are guys who are 25 and younger, and talking about it from location plus and also from stuff plus perspectives. And Brandon Pfaadt is a location plus guy. And that's what we saw in the playoffs with Pfaadt last year, that he was really locked in and nibbling the edges, doing the neck beard and really working things correctly. And that can be a real thing. The problem for me with Font and why I've been so wishy-washy on him is because he really does need another pitch. It can't be the sweeper. I thought when he first came up, the four-seamer was going to be better than it was. And there needs to be something else. The good news is that it's a foundation of command that Font just needs to find it. Like, I feel like he just needs to go through all the grips, and eventually he will find that real good number three pitch. It could be the changeup. It was better here. That might be it if that becomes a consistent thing. We've seen it go in and out before. I wonder if it's a cutter. I wonder if it's a proper slider as opposed to the sweeper. I don't know. But when he has it, Font then has a really good foundation. And then I'll start being interested, I think, in Font. But I don't think the fastballs are quite good enough to really be that for him right now. Okay, we've got a lot more guys to talk about. I'll talk about all of those and, of course, today and tomorrow starters after this break. Yusei Kikuchi against the Rangers. 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. His velocity was down 1 to 2 ticks, and his changeup had 0 whiffs with just 3 over 12 strikes. Ugh. I mean, I wanted to believe that the Astros like, hey, cool, just kind of do this with this changeup, and you'll be fine. And he had that one really good start, and then it went away. But here's the thing, that was still a good line. Also, he had some really non-competitive sliders, but then the ones that he did execute were great. The four-seamer, still excellent. I'm still very much in. And I know that, like, okay, the third pitch stuff, like, complimenting the four-seamer has always been the thing with Kikuchi. I do like the fact that the Astros are really leaning in on, hey, make sure you have the mentality of keeping slider changeup curve down. It seems like that's what's going on for these two starts. Previously, he's just been throwing strikes with it. He's a little bit more nibbling. I think this is a better thing for Kikuchi. Joey Estes against the White Sox. 5 innings of 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Good stuff. He was also on this list of elite command guys. I'm actually kind of curious in Estes because he's only 22. Maybe he learns velocity in the offseason. Maybe he finds something else. It's a really good located four-seamer. And I just feel like it could be something that works. You know, I want there to be like a slider that is just like, oh, cool, there it is. Beautiful. Right, like it's so close, I think, with Estes. He might just be nothing. But like, I love having that foundation. I really do believe that he could build off of. And especially at 22 years old, there is some idea like, oh man, Estes is coming to spring training, throwing 95 and sitting there or something. We'll probably hear that next year. Oh my gosh, he's at 96 now. Okay. Trevor Rogers against the Blue Jays. 5 innings of 2 runs and 9 base runners and 2 Ks. So I still feel like we gotta wait and see for Trevor Rogers to really find his groove with Baltimore and give them more time to get in his ear and figure out, hey, cool, we're gonna change this, we're gonna do that. But hey, two earned runs and 5 innings, we'll take that all day for Rogers. Good job, buddy, and hopefully you get some wins in the future. You didn't get one here. Chris Sale got singled out a bit, and he still had 10 strikeouts in 4.2 innings, 18 whiffs, 42% CSW. It's so crazy to see that and only go 4.2 innings. You know, it's like they just kind of swung and did everything, and they hit the ball a lot, I guess. 9 hits, 2 walks. Kind of wild. So the whole line was 4.2 innings, 200 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts. 42% CSW, and you got 11 base runners? What? I just don't see that. Jose Urania against the Astros. 4 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 0 Ks. Of course, it's Urania. Don't do Urania. Javier Assad against the Twins. Can we be done with this? 75 pitches and 4 innings? Like, it's just not the thing you want. Carson Fulmer against the Yankees. 4 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 1 strike. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? I really don't think he pitched that badly. Like, he has a lot of secondaries here, and I think it could work against the Blue Jays. Just want to throw that out there. It was the Yankees. He pitched around them. He did a good job. Okay. Blake Snell against the Nationals. He got a poor quality start for 300 runs and 6 innings, which is annoying. 4 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. I mean, it's hot Snell Snummer, okay? He allowed a home run. A couple of the guys got base knocks when they needed to. He also had 5 for 8 slider strikes. Good job, Snell. The changeup and the curve are like the big difference maker. How does he do this? Really, Blake Snell finding a feel for his curveball is everything. When you think about him struggling, it's him not getting strikes with sliders and curves and changeups and just kind of not really knowing what to do outside of just fastballs, and the fastballs is kind of being wonky. But like that curveball being so dependable, oh man, it just changes everything. And of course, the changeup actually being really effective too is amazing. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Guardians. We saw him. He's back. 5.2 innings of 3 runs. So that's a Philly fine. So close from a poor quality start. 4 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. 65 pitches. And of course, you're only going to see like 3 whiffs, 23% CSW. If you're going to go 5.2 innings and 65 pitches. So that's pretty cool. He gets Rocky Road next. Should probably be up to 75. Like, all right, that's fine enough for me. You have George Kirby against the Tigers. 7 Ks. Amazing four-seamers, top of the zone. Blake Snell blueprint, 50% CSW on that four-seamer. 5 innings and 3 runs. 7 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. What? That's annoying. Yeah, this is a good Kirby, though, so whatever. And to see 7 strikeouts in 5 innings, well, I mean, it's really just 7 strikeouts. He's out of the top tier because I don't really see, like, 9, 10 strikeout games in the future for him. But, hey, here he is going 7 Ks in 5 innings at least, right? Nick, he had, you know, strikeout rate so low because he faced so many base runners to allow 3 runs in 7 minutes. I know. This is why K per 9 is not the stat you should use. Stop using K per 9 and use K percentage. Okay? Just, I'm telling you right now, K per 9 is worse than K percentage. The inefficient guys will always have good K per 9s. Why you see like high walk per 9s, but also high K per 9s. Okay? Because they're facing the same number of batters, but fewer innings, thus amplifies it. Okay, cool. Michael King against the Pirates. 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks in, 7 strikeouts. Could be better, buddy. Come on. You gave us 7 strikeouts at least. He didn't have his sweeper, and that's what's going to happen if he doesn't have a sweeper. Okay, he should have a sweeper. We saw it go away at the beginning of the year and came back in full. He'll be fine. He's getting the Pirates again. We're all cool. Gavin Stone against the Phillies. 4.2 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. He's a Toby. He's not a Spice Girl. And what that differentiation is, that Spice Girls are ones that we think could be aces. They have strikeout potential. They're really exciting, a little more volatile. Tobys are, hey, you're going to get me a win, and you're not really going to get me strikeouts in decent ratios, right? So Gavin, you know, he's generally good enough to get wins for the Dodgers, especially when this heater is doing well. This was a tough matchup against the Phillies. You want to bench him. That's, you know, he didn't do well. There you go. Ben Lively. Oh, man, it's been such a Vargas rule. And 5 innings, 4 runs, allowed some home runs. He had a bad start. It's unfortunate. I think we're still going to go with Ben Lively. It's a Vargas rule plus at this point. Freddy Peralta against Atlanta. 5 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. So here's the thing. 16 whiffs, 37% CSW, 2 walks. And he had such a good slider that was consistently down and out of the zone the right way, arm side. And the four-seamer was separated. And, like, this is what I want from Peralta. It just didn't go his way. Like, this wasn't the chaos I've been seeing. So hopefully this is a step in the right direction. Don't worry about the line for moving forward with Peralta. Tyler Phillips went against the Dodgers and he didn't do well. There you go. He might be out of the rotation now because Taiwan Walker is returning and so is Ranger Suarez, at least he's expected to. If he does make that start against the Marlins next, I'm fine with Tyler Phillips. Okay, cool. I don't think he's going to get it though. Monitor it. Don't have to circle it. It's like not a probable, it's just a questionable if he does. Carlos Carrasco, you don't start him. Okay, awesome. He went against the Diamondbacks. It wasn't good. Jake Irvin against the Giants. 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. So has this like really ended? I know it's been a lot more of a tumultuous month for Jake Irvin. The four-seamer was good. The curveball wasn't overwhelming. And he hasn't really had the overwhelming curve for a little bit, I think. The four-seamer has had to do more. But the overall command was like kind of better than like all the starts where he didn't have the best stuff. So, man, he gets the Orioles next. I don't want to do it. And then we're really going to have that conversation. So, oh boy, going to be a weird one. Taj Bradley against the Cardinals, 4.2 innings of 5 runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Man, I really wanted this to be a start that's like, okay, fine, I'll give you the aces, going to ace. But this is too straight of him being weird. And don't be the cherry bomb, buddy. I mean, he had the 67% strike rate on both his four-seamer and splitter that we want, but they didn't separate at all. Like, there was all, like, wham luck this entire game, and you just can't do that, right? You got to at least have some separation. Like, the four-seamer at least needs to be up, and the splitter can be both or something. You can't just be in the middle, you know? This seems pretty obvious. So he gets the Astros next, and I'm just going to go after that with Taj Bradley. I feel like it's less dependent of opponent than others for Taj Bradley. Marco Gonzalez against the Padres. Yeah, no, that's not a thing you want to do, so we're not going to do that. He actually did pitch decently well as far as locations and everything, but you just wait for the right matchup. He gets the Padres again, so no. Davis Daniel, haha, That's the one, not Davis Martin, against the Yankees. It was terrible. Of course he did, because it was the Yankees. Like, you don't do that. Two first names and all that kind of stuff. He's just kidding. Both Davis Daniel and Davis Martin are both two first names. Interesting. Long story short, Davis Daniel is a very desperate streamer. Not against the Yankees, obviously. Andrew Abbott against the Marlins. Oh my gosh. It's like, it's so wild, right? Like, Andrew Abbott is such a mystery to me. And here he is against the Marlins. Like, all right, fine. I'm going to start against the Marlins. Five innings of 600 runs, six hits, three walks, and seven Ks. But 15 whiffs, 31% CSW. And here's the thing. This was actually like an approach I could get behind. He was Blake Snell blueprint. Four seamers were upstairs. Sweepers and changeups were low. Like, this is actually, oh, hey, you're commanding and doing an approach that would work and everything. And what is this? Like, I guess we just cherry bomb it and say, all right, whatever. Go, good luck against the Cardinals. Like, what? Wild. Then you have two really disappointing ones. Will Warren was my stream pick of the day. I'm safe from appeal, but, and this was just terrible. 4.1 innings, 8 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks. And he's going to be not back in the rotation because this was just for the doubleheader. So we move on. But yeah, this was really frustrating. And Carter Crawford, this was the easier matchup that he's gotten, right? Dodgers, Yankees, Rangers he's been getting with all these home runs. And now he gets the Royals and 3.2 innings of 600 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, 3 Ks. You know, I don't watch this, and the cutter isn't dominating. Four seamer is easier to hit than you want it to be. Sweeper, like, you know, the thing I was mentioning earlier in the year is, like, what is the pitch for Cutter Crawford that he really goes into his back pocket and gets and uses and is great? And, you know, I think during his success, like, I think all of them were that. Now none of them are that, right? He only allowed one home run at least in this one. And if it's a really tough schedule moving forward, I think the Red Sox have such a tough schedule. I don't think you need to hold on to Cutter Crawford. I don't think you need to hold on to Pivetta. I don't think you need to hold on to Hauk. Like, understand, this is game time. You know, you got 2 months left. And I generally speak as far as, like, the whole season goes of, look, like, generally these skills are good enough, so thus don't really think about matchups and stuff. Like, you want to go with it. But these matchups are going to be rough, I think, for the Red Sox. And Cutter Crawford's in a bad place. And you might just say, you know what? I'd rather just stream Martin Perez for the week against the Marlins, right? Like, you don't have to hold on to all of these guys. And if you have a rotation that has a lot of sturdy arms, like, you're going to have to make these tough cuts. Again, I cut Tanner Houck. I needed a bat. I had a good enough rotation. I looked at my rotation and said, you know what? Tanner Houck is the one that I have the biggest questions about. And I dropped him. And I don't feel great about it. I would like to have him for September. But I also feel that there are a lot of streamers out there that can get me through that spot a little bit better at the moment. And maybe Cutter Crawford is one of them. Now, the ceiling obviously is there for Cutter, and you have to make that decision for yourself. But yeah, Cutter Crawford's not someone that I'm saying, oh, no, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be great. Like, I don't know. So make that decision for your own squads. But yeah, really, really give a good and hard moment of thought for that. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. There's no changes for today, so awesome. The lineup's already locked, so I hope that was good for yesterday. Don't worry. Tomorrow's games, you have Zach Wheeler, Jack Flaherty, Robbie Ray, Bailey Ober, Ronel Blanco, and Garrett Crochet. So that rhymed. Garrett Crochet is in auto start because the ceiling's too good. And unless you're in a max start league, like, even if it's four innings, those should be quality innings anyway. And also, it's not a lock that it's just four innings. He threw over 70 pitches. He's done that over two of his last three starts. I do wonder if the White Sox are going to be like, all right, fine, we've given you enough of a rest. Let's go and get you innings so that you're good enough next year. Like, you can't just, like, stop him now because he's not really worked up fully for next year. So I have to think the White Sox are going to let him start regularly again, right? You gotta think that at some point. So I think you just stick him in your lineup and don't think too much about it right now. Zach Eflin, Carlos Rodon, Bryce Miller in Seattle are pretty easy probable starts there. You have Jose Quintana against the Mariners on the other side of that. Love that one. Martin Perez is my stream pick of the day against the Marlins. Spencer Schwellenbach has been so good. It is Coors, but he's also a low IVB four-seamer anyway. So it actually might be fine, but then again, it does change secondaries. I don't know. I'm doing it. Jameson Taillon is a good matchup against the White Sox. Mitchell Parker is a good matchup against the Angels. Jose Soriano against the Nationals is a good matchup. A little more volatile than the others, but still fun. And Mike Lorenzen is a good matchup against the Cardinals. So those are all probable starts. Questionable start. I don't like what Jose Barrios is doing. And he gets the Athletics, who can be kind of dangerous. So I don't know. Not going to do that. Tanner Houck, as I just mentioned, I dropped him. Why? Astros. I don't know if I want to go for that right now, so it's up to you. Edward Cabrera against the Padres, he's a cherry bomb. If he has strikes going, this could still be really good. He's less matchup dependent, I think, than other pitchers are. You have Aaron Civale against the Reds if he has his cutter and curveball that'll work. Mitch Spence against the Jays. Look, he throws cutters and sliders and he can go like five innings of decency, all right? We all get that. Carson Spires, same kind of thing, but it's command focused and more of a variety against the Brewers. We've seen that work too, so who knows there. And do not start to. You have Louis Varland against the Guardians. Mitch Keller against the Dodgers. Ryan Nelson against the Phillies. With that one, Ryan Nelson, maybe his fastballs are good enough in the upper third to just get outs. We've seen it before, but I don't want to do it. Louis Varland, by the way, is returning, I think, for the doubleheader for the Twins as the extra man. And also could be taking Joe Ryan's spot in the rotation if he's out for a long time. I'm curious to see what we get from Louis Varland. The metrics on the Forest were not so great in his last rehab start, but he was in the upper half of the zone and only like three four-seamers in the lower third, which is good. So I'm curious to see what kind of version of Louis Varland we get. We wait and see there. There's Miles Michaelis against the Royals. Ugh, and Brandt Herter. You don't know him. He's a lefty on the Tigers. He threw three innings in relief. It was sinkers at 93 and sweepers. And like, that's not what we want. You have him against the Giants, but like it was only three innings. I don't know how long it's going to go. If it's going to be productive, I just don't want to do it. Cody Bradford gets the Yankees, unfortunately, there. You have Alex Cobb and Tristan McKenzie in this doubleheader. Alex Cobb will be making his debut of the season, and that is a clear still ill. And Tristan McKenzie could be the guy they call up for this. Could be Joey Cantillo, but I think he's on the roster right now, which means they won't be taking advantage of the extra man, and I think that means that it would go with Tristan McKenzie. I'm not sure, so I don't want to touch any of them. Pretty clear, Tristan McKenzie isn't doing well in AAA. Ryan Pepiot, it could be the guy against the Orioles. It could also be Tyler Alexander with an opener. The last report I saw was that Ryan Pepiot needed another sim game. So I'm going to say it's Tyler Alexander with an opener instead. And last but not least, you have Tanner Gordon against Atlanta. You don't want to touch that one. All right, that is it for today. A long roundup, long live stream, long podcast. You get it all along. Okay, I'm so sorry I just said that. That is it for today. Thank you all so much. I'm going to be giving away a free month of PL Pro after this podcast. And if you're listening right now, you got to join the live stream. You can win PL Pro for free. So that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeout time.